The first segment today goes to work coming through our newsroom. Next year, Oregon's medical marijuana program turns 20, but its future is far from clear. Today, we're taking a closer look at medical marijuana. In this first story, Christian Fodenvenzel from Oregon Public Broadcasting reports that medicinal marijuana sales are dropping as customers and investors turn to recreational marijuana instead.
25-year-old store receptionist Nicole Schaefer has used medicinal pot for the last 4 years.
I use it mostly for, like, kind of emotional stuff, digestive things. I probably maybe smoke about once a day at this point. It just depends on whether it's going to be, like, afternoon when I need it or if it's more of an evening thing.
But last month, Schaefer let her official Oregon medical marijuana card lapse. She says the annual cost isn't worth what she can save on medical versus recreational marijuana.
To buy, like, you know, a $12 gram here and there is going to be way more cost-effective than to go out and spend $200 on a medical card.
A lot of Oregonians are making similar decisions. In fact, state officials say that since recreational marijuana became legal, the number of people with medical cards has dropped from 77,000 to 67,000. That's the population of Cottage Grove. And it's not just customers moving to the recreational market. Of the 300-plus dispensaries in the state, more than 80% have applied to sell recreational cannabis. The Little Amsterdam dispensary in Portland, for example, just shut down its medicinal shop. Owner Renee Barnes is still a partner in two other stores. She says last year, medicinal sales and recreational sales were running about 50-50.
Now we see about 70% recreational and 30% medical customers.
Medical marijuana is supposed to be a legal, easy way to help people get it for pain reduction or other chronic problems. For example, patients with medicinal marijuana cards can buy more than recreational customers, and they pay lower prices. But that isn't proving enough to retain customers. Renee Barnes says the state now seems to be favoring recreational marijuana over medicinal marijuana.
You know, it's kind of maybe become the ugly stepchild.
Dr. Christian Lay runs Green Earth Medicine in Portland, a clinic that specializes in helping people who use medical marijuana. He's also seeing medical sales wither, and he's frustrated because he says the state appears to be pushing aside the promise of medical marijuana in favor of the tax revenues it gets for recreational marijuana. State and local authorities can slap up to 20% on recreational sales, while they can't add a thing to medicinal sales. Dr. Lay says it's not that the state's trying to kill medical sales, but it is letting it die on the vine.
The people who made cannabis legal as it is today are actually being thrown to the curb.
Medicinal growers are having problems too. That's because they don't grow on the same scale as recreational farmers, but are now subject to many of the same regulations, like licensing fees, expensive security cameras, and seed-to-sale tracking systems. Mark Pettinger with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission won't comment on whether taxes are driving the move from medicinal to recreational sales. That's not his job. But he says the new regulations are necessary.
It's really to ensure that certain safeguards are in place to protect public safety. That means preventing access by children. It means ensuring that marijuana isn't diverted from legal intent into the illegal market. It means trying to keep marijuana, you know, out of the hands of cartels and organized crime.
He says all the new regulations are needed to try and keep the federal government from coming into the state and shutting down sales. So, will Oregon see the death of the medical marijuana-only dispensary? No, says the recently departed chief of the OLCC, Rob Patridge.
Basically, you're going to have a series of cities and counties across the state who've opted out from any recreational sale. So, you're going to have some of those medical-only sales dispensaries.
Those dispensaries, he says, are going to remain around eastern Oregon, where medical cards are the only legal way people can get the drug. Maybe it's not what Oregon voters intended when they approved medical marijuana in 1998, but for patients, it's better than nothing. Christian Fodenvenzel, OPB.
And this is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. We'll continue with the medical marijuana series. So 20 years after legalization, medical marijuana sales remain a hazy realm of anecdotes and wishful thinking. Christian Fodenvenzel continues our series looking at the state of medical marijuana in Oregon.
Tap health benefits of cannabis into your search engine and you're likely to see dozens of uses, like treating autism, regulating diabetes, and slowing Alzheimer's. People say it can help you lose weight, gain weight, decrease depression, and regulate seizures. Dispensary owner Scott Matthews says he uses it to protect against cancer.
It's not a smoke, it's an oil. put under your tongue, and that was for me. I'm a, like I said, I'm a non-smoker of the product. Those guys have fun with it.
So just to be clear, you take it for preventing cancer.
Exactly.
Okay.
To be clear, there is no solid evidence marijuana can prevent cancer, and there's no solid evidence it can't either. That scientific uncertainty is at the heart of why the future of medical marijuana is unclear. The plant's medicinal properties were declared by popular vote in a 1998 ballot measure, not by any FDA science, and back then some true believers hoped legalization would herald a new era in scientific research. But that hasn't happened. Dr. Christian Lay runs Green Earth Medicine, a clinic that specializes in helping people use the plant.
Where is the concern? Where is the effort that goes towards medical, true medical scientific work on cannabinoids?
For casual smokers, it's cheaper to buy small quantities in the recreational market than to pay $200 for a medicinal marijuana card. And for patients, the health benefits still aren't clear, so sellers are limited in what they can legally say. In Washington, for example, bud tenders aren't allowed to address the medicinal properties of cannabis at all.
So someone could come to you with tears in their eyes and they could say, you know what, nothing's helping me. What could I do? And you have to say, you know, I can't speak to that.
Sarah Lamas has worked as a bud tender in both Washington and Oregon. She's now at Herbal Grasslands in Salem and is pleased that Oregon law allows her to deliver anecdotal information. So she can't tell customers marijuana will cure cancer, but she can tell them stories about the experiences of other customers.
Having heard the stories of people that come in gray from cancer, they haven't eaten. And I'm able to say, my understanding is that you can try this, and this is an opportunity for you to eat tonight. So for me, I'm very passionate about that because it gives opportunity. No, I can't speak to fact, but at least now I can speak to the illness.
It's about as well as you can do right now, at least within the confines of the law.
Vince Silwoski is a professor of cannabis law and policy at Lewis and Clark. He says perhaps Oregon's way is not the worst way to sell marijuana.
You know, there's the placebo concept. If somebody thinks it's helping them, it may be helping them. And there's enough anecdotal testimony out there to support the fact that marijuana is fairly helpful to people with a variety of medical conditions for one reason or another.
And it's not just marijuana sales staff who are limited in what they can say. Manufacturers are too. Jamie Dickinson spends her day checking marijuana product labels. She's the labeling specialist at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission.
So if you know somebody wants to say puts pep in your step or something like that, those types of things wouldn't be something that we would prohibit. But if you got into kind of a disease or a specific health condition, that's where we would really want to look at it. If you wanted to say cures cancer, that would obviously not be allowed.
So that's how the state protects consumers from overzealous medical marijuana sales. If the federal government were to loosen its restrictions on marijuana and allow more research, Oregon's dispensaries would likely have to operate like regular pharmacies with all the attendant FDA regulations. Christian Fodenwenzel, OPB.
And this is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're continuing our series of reports from Oregon Public Broadcasting about medical marijuana because Oregon voters passed the medical marijuana law nearly 20 years ago. Since then, the Oregon Health Authority has been left to operate what some have called the ugly stepchild of the state's health system. The state has tried to bring more science to medical marijuana, but with limited success. Here again, Oregon Public Broadcasting's Christian Fodenwenzel.
Last year, the Oregon legislature assembled a task force to look into setting up a local cannabis research institute. The facility would have been similar to ones in California and Colorado, and the goal was simple, to increase the state's knowledge about what marijuana can and cannot do. But state epidemiologist Dr. Katrina Hedberg says nothing happened.
Why hasn't this happened? Because the legislature is one that allocates funding for various programs and budgets and institutes, and that has not yet happened.
Another big hurdle, the task force found that effective science needed to be carried out in universities. But Oregon's universities were reluctant to do research on marijuana because they didn't want to risk losing federal research funds. Still, some research is being conducted. For example, the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine just released a report saying patients treated with cannabis are more likely to experience significantly less pain.
We also know that patients who are taking cancer chemotherapy, it might help reduce some of the symptoms like nausea, etc. And of course, many people have loss of appetite, and marijuana might help to increase appetite.
The report found some negative effects too, like an increased risk of developing schizophrenia and social anxiety. To incorporate all this new science, Dr. Hedberg holds periodic meetings of the Retail Marijuana Scientific Advisory Committee. It's a group of doctors and scientists who provide input on public health issues around marijuana. So if the state puts out a leaflet or starts a campaign to stop youth from using marijuana, it'll likely rely on the committee's advice. Here was Dr. Hedberg incorporating new research on birth weight with the committee last month.
Some research shows that using marijuana can cause low birth weight, and so we have a proposed new statement: marijuana use during pregnancy is likely to decrease birth weight of offspring. Folks agree with the statement?
I think it's a good suggestion, a good addition.
Still, these are small steps for a drug that the original ballot measure said was good for cancer, glaucoma, AIDS, PTSD, pain, and seizures. Oregon's been struggling with how to regulate marijuana for the last 20 years. Andre Uso manages Oregon's medical marijuana program.
So legalized states are in a position where they have to act as almost a mini FDA, and then they're also regulating it in recreational states as a vice. So they're regulating it in the same manner that we would regulate alcohol and tobacco.
Mark Pettinger with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission says his agency regulates marijuana more like a health supplement.
So you go into a health food store, you know, you've got a rash on your arm, you talk to somebody who's in there and they say, oh, I've got just the thing for you. They go over and they pick an herb off the shelf. They say, this has worked for me pretty well. But you look on the label of the package and it clearly says that these claims have not been approved by the FDA.
That confusion about whether to treat marijuana as a supplement, a medicine, or like alcohol is the reason the drug is currently overseen by two agencies: the Oregon Health Authority, to make sure it's safe, and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, to make sure it doesn't get into the hands of kids. There are a couple of bills in Salem this session that would put regulation under one agency, probably the OLCC, but that's still up in the air. Rob Patridge, the former head of the OLCC, likes the idea.
I think it's better from a good government standpoint. I think it's better for consumers.
Meanwhile, the marijuana industry's attention is fixed on the Trump administration. Politicians from Oregon have asked the administration to at least maintain the status quo. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions has said the nation needs to clearly say that using drugs will destroy your life. Christian Fodenwenzel, OPB.
So obviously still some tension involved with what goes on at state law involving marijuana and federal law involving marijuana. And at this point, no particular resolution involved there. So we'll finish up the series now on medical marijuana in Oregon. When Oregon voters approved medical marijuana almost two decades ago, supporters assumed there'd be more research into its health benefits. Research is happening in Oregon, but it's mainly into growing more marijuana more cheaply and not finding the next FDA-approved marijuana drug. Kristen Fodenwenzel completes the series.
Let me take you on a short flight of fancy. Imagine you're starting your own pot farm. First you get land and water rights, and then you've got to find the right strain of cannabis.
Well, so there's a lot of legend and lore. So in general, it's like, my friend Billy gave me this, and he told me that he got it from this guy, and this is the original thing. This is the lost cut of Panama Red from so-and-so in 1978.
Mowgli Holmes is the chief scientific officer at Phylos Bioscience, an Oregon startup that for $300 will outline the genetic profile of any cannabis plant you bring them. Data scientist Alicia Holloway pulls up a company website showing how closely your plant is linked to other varieties.
I'm showing you the Phylos Galaxy, where every colored dot on this 3D representation is a sample that we've received.
And it really does look like a three-dimensional galaxy with lots of different stars, lots of different colors. But you've got large clumps that are together. What does that tell you?
Those clumps that are really close to each other are clone groups.
This kind of research is great for growers. It helps a farmer ensure she's not going to get sued for infringing on someone else's intellectual property. Growers need that kind of detail because the cannabis market is a mess. Holmes says medical consumers, for example, can't be assured the strain they buy one week will be the same the next week.
People have to experiment till they find something that works for their back pain or their fibromyalgia, and every patient's different. And they find something, and it's called lemon haze or whatever. But then they can't get it again. they go back and they get something called the same thing, but it's not the same thing. And they can't get the same thing anywhere else, even though it has the same name, because people just rename things because they don't know what they are.
Phylos is only one of dozens of Oregon startups doing research on marijuana. Senator Floyd Prozanski sits on Oregon's Marijuana Regulation Committee, which tracks how much money is being spent on cannabis.
The numbers we just received by phone says in the last 6 months, there's $60 to $80 million have gone into startups.
There are businesses trying to perfect the process of extracting cannabis oil, for example. Businesses developing a dermal patch so people can absorb marijuana through their skin. This January, a group of entrepreneurs launched the Oregon Hub, a farm and research center in Clackamas, aimed at perfecting growing techniques like reducing water and energy use.
We are federally legal. We have a bank account. We operate just like any other business.
Seth Crawford and his brother run Oregon CBD in the Willamette Valley. They're working with industrial hemp, which is federally legal as long as it contains less than 0.3% of the active cannabis ingredient THC. They're aiming to invigorate America's old industrial hemp market by breeding plants to grow in a variety of climates.
You know, you're looking at humidity, mold and mildew resistance, a number of different types of potential pathogens that emerge in specific microclimates that we try to adapt our plants for.
So there is plenty of marijuana research going on in Oregon, but, says state epidemiologist Dr. Katrina Hedberg, it's startup research, not the kind of peer-reviewed, double-blind research that's going to lead to FDA-approved medications.
Doing that kind of study is very difficult when it comes to a natural herb product.
Most FDA-level marijuana science is being conducted overseas. A British company recently developed a cannabis extract called Sativex. It's been approved to help with neuropathic pain in 28 countries, but not the US. The FDA has approved another drug called Marinol to treat nausea in cancer patients. It's made out of synthetic THC, the compound in marijuana that gets you high. But marijuana contains 100 compounds or more, and experts say it's the interaction between those compounds that gives the plant its medical properties. The FDA's drug approval process doesn't deal with so many compounds at one time, so perhaps the future of Oregon's medical marijuana market will be in the form of supplements and whole plant edibles rather than new FDA-approved medications. Christian Fodenwenzel, OPB.
Our thanks to Christian for the series of reports, and thanks to Oregon Public Broadcasting for a continued partnership that continues to bear fruit for both OPB and for Jefferson Public Radio. And it is a two-way street. They get our stuff in return as well. You can find all of these stories up on the website at jeffexchange.org and ijpr.org. Search out Medical Marijuana 20 Years. It's a special tag just for the series of programs. And we will keep an eye on what happens down the road as we see the collision between medical marijuana and marijuana for personal use and what that ends up working out in terms of markets and suppliers and users and all of that, all coming up in future editions of the Jefferson Exchange.